Welcome back to Footwork, a podcast for those who dream big, never settle, and make their own path. I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan. Together with guests, we share stories and tips every Monday to educate, inspire, and create a community built of soccer players and dream chasers.
Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Welcome to Footwork.
All right. The Danish legend is back. What episode was that with? Morten Knudsen.
We talked about it the other day too. We were like, I had just met him. Like, you were kind of fresh friends too.
Also
we were
new, like, yeah.
I wonder what that episode could be like now. Now that we have all these inside jokes and trips to Berlin under our belts, you know.
Episode 63.
Wow. Well, welcome back, Morty. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
2 years later.
Pleasure to be back at Footwork. So today we're gonna head back into our deep dives. Last time we did the Regionalliga structure, where all three of us have played and Morty is playing right now. But as the Danish legend himself, we picked your brain one time in a coffee shop, and I think that kind of set the stage. Do you remember that in Berlin? That overpriced coffee?
The expensive coffee shop in Berlin.
Yeah.
25 euros. The 8 euro coffee that took 30 minutes to make.
Yeah.
And We were picking your brain about Denmark, and then we were like, people need to hear this kind of stuff. So I think it was kind of our inspiration for this whole factor of deep dives.
Yeah, so talk.
Yeah, talk to my kid.
Tak så mycket is Swedish, but I'll take it, huh?
Fuck. I thought so. Just talk is okay.
The Danish term, yeah.
Okay. Damn. We're already messing up. So let's just dive into it. Let's do a deep dive. So I guess the first question would just be, the Danish season can run a little bit differently. So are they all the same in terms of how they run? And then how does that work?
So I think it's like the most common here in Europe that you run from the summer until the summer. You have a few countries, actually Sweden and Norway, they do it from winter to winter.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise it follows like here in Germany or France or anywhere else.
Okay, so it's exactly the same pretty much.
Exactly the same, yeah.
I thought there was like a longer break or something, because I would see that Danish teams would play weird times for like Champions League qualifiers.
Yeah, I mean, we have the problem about the pitches. So like, it used to be difficult to play in early February or something because of the, yeah, of the condition of the pitch, but now we got heat in the pitches mostly everywhere, so we can play like all year round.
Oh, you guys got some good money now, huh?
Or maybe they play on artificial also. Huh?
Okay, gotcha.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. And give us the structure of the leagues. How does it work? How does the first, second, third league, professional, amateur?
So the most confusing thing, I guess, is that you have this first league called Superliga. So the second best is actually the first division, and then comes third.
That's how they get you. That's how they get you.
Yeah. So if you have to tell a foreigner in which level you're playing, you have to like explain the structure. Say, I just play in the first division or second division, because they don't really know what that means.
And right. Second division sounds even better now.
Yeah.
Oh, I play in the second division. Now you play in the second tier, and then you just don't correct them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, and actually, we in Denmark, they made like measurements to the size of the first league,
mm-hmm.
Superliga. So it used to be 14 teams. Now it's 12. And then they put teams down the leagues. So we have, in the three first leagues, we have 12 teams.
Okay.
So it's actually quite high level also in the third league, which is the mm-hmm. second division. Yeah.
Okay. And so at what point, we'll get into kind of like the professionalism and wages and things like that. But at what point is it like, like, what league does it get to where people are literally only doing this as a hobby? It's not even like as a stepping stone anymore.
Yeah. So Superliga is obviously professional. First division is also very professional. Second division, I I would think that half of the teams are also full-time professional. Mm-hmm. And then the third division, the fourth league, mm-hmm. that's for hobby. But they still like put in a decent effort. So you have to also be in good condition and be a good footballer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I guess below that, it's more or less hobby.
Okay. And are there any like second teams for professional clubs? You know, like we have here, you have the Hasfouts Fire or whatever. So do they have those,
yeah,
or do they play in their own system?
Yeah, they have their own system, the Reserve League, they call it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works. Yeah, they have their own championship, but it's like not all teams are, yeah, it's not mandatory for the teams to have a reserve team. So mm-hmm. it's like a little bit of mixture between the Superliga and First Division, also because it takes a lot of economic to like keep it going throughout the whole country. If mm-hmm. you have to put, I mean, Denmark is a small country, but you still have to travel 5 hours sometimes. So yeah, some teams will just put players on the under 19 team. They can have like three players above, like older than normal.
Okay.
Gotcha,
if that
gotcha.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And how would you explain the style of play in Denmark compared to elsewhere?
Yeah, it's very like focused on the opponent all the time. So if we get like, let's say we have a weekend game Saturday, then we will start already on Monday to put the focus on the opponent, on how they play, on how the last games have been, and so on. So it's like, in my opinion, too focused on what we are facing and not so much focused about what we want to do ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of style, it's like, I think it's a mixture of long balls and some tactical, a little bit of waiting game. Mm-hmm. Not so much technical in the middle of the field.
Okay. Would you say the middle is more kind of fighting for second balls and things like that, yeah, and then giving it to the wings, or?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have teams like top teams in the Superliga. They'll play good football, mm-hmm. but the other teams they'll go like more simple on it.
Yeah, yeah. We saw it was just a friendly, Sean, but we saw Pauli against
Midtjylland.
Yeah, actually, I mean, obviously yeah. top club, so like it made sense. Yeah. But we were really impressed with their diamond three in the middle. They were very good on the ball.
It's interesting you say that, Morty, because when we played with Phoenix, when we played the three second tier teams, first division clubs, I found that those three teams played exactly the same way as Midtjylland. Of course, the quality is less, but they all played the three midfielders very, very fluid and always changing. And they love to just play small, 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 and then play a diagonal and then do it again on that side and then go back around and play another diagonal. And Midtjylland, they played exactly the same way.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, you have the teams who can do that and they are in the top, and you have the teams who try to do that and they will get relegated. Like, actually, the team that we won against in this Belt Cup, they got relegated.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So it's okay. Like, it's, we will say it's a romantic way of playing, and it's not, mm-hmm. maybe you really need the players in order to make it work.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny you said that too. Like we played last year in preseason in Trainingslager, we played Zickerburg, and I felt it was the same. Like the three midfielder were fluid. Obviously, they're playing a Regionalliga team, so I think they can play more like that. I don't know if they always play like that, but I had the same. Like when you said that, Sean, I was like, yeah, Zickerburg was kind of the same. Three coming into the middle, you know, always fluid, kind of you're figuring out where they are, especially if you're coming back in a lower block, and then boom, diagonal, and then you're kind of caught out.
I mean, even West Ham had a hard time against these guys from Silverpool. And but yeah, we have Silverpool, we have FC Nordsjælland, and they play always on that stadium is artificial. So they used to like just moving the ball around all the time. You can't really get into a duel. And we call it the most beautiful football we have in Denmark, El Plástico.
That's awesome. Why is this the first time I'm hearing that? That's amazing. El Plástico. That's so
funny. Wow.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I get it. When you're playing on the artificial like that, your game can completely change, especially if it's a good artificial, you know, like the speed of play is just completely different.
Yeah, and they will also water it, so it's like even faster. Yeah.
Watering the turf? Oh, that's a dream.
It is a dream, and it's like you're thinking about going into this duel, but the ball is already gone. It's like they're just moving
right, it so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I wanted before we get into like the exact wages or a little bit more information on the contracts, I guess just in terms of like the professional levels for these clubs, like you had mentioned first and second tier, and then third tier was a little bit different in fourth tier. So does it kind of depend in terms of if the club has ambition to get promoted? Like, will you see teams pay guys a lot more in like the fourth and the fifth tiers if they're trying to get promoted to the next leagues?
No, we have like, I would say, yeah. If we put like the 24 teams in Superliga and the first division, these guys, they are all of them aiming to be in the first, like the Superliga.
Okay.
That's the main goal. And then you have like former big teams who used to play Superliga or first division who got relegated because of the structure thing. So they are in the third tier now, and they also, I mean, they are expending, they are spending money on trying to get back. But you don't see it like in I don't know, Germany, where a rich man is finding a club in the lower ranks and just making them go to the top.
Okay.
No. Okay. That's not this kind of system, because it's not a good business to have a football team in Denmark. We also had a lot of owners coming from abroad, US, especially. We had like four clubs owned by Americans. Three of them got bankrupt. So
why do you think that is?
They hope that they can just like, they can buy a football club for pennies, for nothing compared to the rest of the world. And they think they can just like sell some players, make some good money and get some money from the TV, and then make it a good business. But all of the income is mostly coming from the sponsors and the environment around the club.
Okay.
So it's sort of like, you really have to be in the top league and get money for Europe or something to make it like financially healthy.
And how about, so kind of even focus more on, because obviously first tier, we kind of know what comes with it, and I'm sure some teams are better than others, but more on like the second tier, so the first league, the second league, third league, how are the kind of facilities and things around the game, like the professionalism outside of the contract? So the training schedules, and then also like, how is the club set up? Where is there, are people taking it that seriously in terms of what's available, weight room, things like this, especially from comparing to places you've been? How do you kind of see that?
So personally, I came to Vendsyssel, and I never had like better facilities in my entire life. We had like two artificial pitches. We had a gold box, if you know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
A little box with boundaries around, and mm-hmm. you can make all sorts of exercise. We had like perfect training pitches. We had we had even two fitness gyms. We had everything, and I think that was something that I didn't even experience in Italy and Inter. So that was like miles away from what you can expect. But I think in general in Denmark, the level is rising in terms of the facilities around it. I don't know all of the other clubs, but I guess it's like it's very decent.
And what about in terms of wages? I mean, Superliga, of course, I know you've spoken, actually, we can touch on that. In the Superliga, there's some sort of rule with the foreigners that they maybe it is for visa purposes, but they get paid a lot more than Danish players, but they can only stay for a few years before taxes or something happens.
Yeah. So we have this, I don't know how you call it, a rule set by the government in order to attract the best like workers from abroad. So they can come here for 3 years and they have to get at least around 10,000 euros auto, and then they will have less taxes. So when you have a foreigner coming playing for you, you can pay him. I mean, he will get much out of it, but you don't have to pay that much. But after 3 years, you'll have to get like the normal tax. And this guy, he will then earn a lot less. So then normally he will leave the country.
Wow.
So this is very common that foreigners will come, play for 3 seasons and then leave.
Yeah. But I mean, you also need a club who have the financial.
Sure.
Yeah.
Capacity
to do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting to me. So, I mean, obviously you've only played what you played or what you've heard from other players, but you have a much better understanding than us. So can we walk through a little bit of the wage ranges per division in just terms of like what you've heard and what you've seen?
Yeah. And I think also it's important to say that in the last 4 or 5 years, a lot has changed. Like the salaries are increasing. So when I played the first division and we promoted to Superliga, I mean, the top salaries, yeah, now it's in Danish. They were around 35,000 Danish kroner a month. I'll do a little bit of
5,000.
So 5,000. Sean, you got it up right now?
No, it's divided by 7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 5,000.
And that's, you also have, we have a nice portion of taxes in Denmark to pay also.
Okay.
But now it's like average, below average almost.
Okay.
In the Superliga, it's different. It's like, yeah. I don't know, actually.
A lot.
A lot, yeah. I would just, I mean, it would be normal to have like at least 13.
Brutto.
Brutto, yeah.
13,000. Is this what we're saying? 13,000 US dollars?
Euros.
Okay, euros.
Yeah.
Close enough, okay. So 13, okay. And then you would say that the first league now is much better than what you experienced.
I don't know if the level of football is better, but in terms of salaries, it's definitely has risen a lot. Yeah.
Okay. So if you, I mean, what would range would you say for the first league?
For the best league?
Yeah. No. For first league, so second division. Second tier. Okay. First division, second tier. This is where it gets into it.
We also have two teams in there who are not fully time professional. And that is not because they don't want, but that's because the players, they have already a work, so they can actually attract better players in order not to be a fully time professional, because then you're not allowed to have another work.
So they're like, you can have a job and play for us in a very good league.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah.
So in Denmark, though, if you're a professional footballer, you can't have another job.
I mean, you have to be available for the club in these, I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
37 hours per week or something. Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, what if you had like an online hustle or something like that? But that's obviously different. I mean, just like you can't get a coffee shop job and be like,
right?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. So, what about the second division? Because you even said in the first division that a few teams at the bottom aren't full time. So, if we head into the second division, so the third tier, what are those wages kind of looking like?
I mean, yeah. Also, for me, I have never played there, so I don't really know that. But I mean, it would be normal to have around 2,000, a little bit more euro brutto. But then, when the numbers are lower, you don't pay that much taxes.
Okay.
and they will most likely also be paying you like money for shoes, money for driving, something like that, in order not to pay so much taxes.
Right. And are
Okay.
they ever
So a
giving you
lot
an
of that.
apartment or a car?
A car is very expensive to have for from the club because they have to get pay they have to pay taxes from it. I mean, the Danish tax system is like very difficult to explain, even in Danish. I don't even know how to do it. But it's like not something that clubs they do.
Okay.
So if you get your salary, you have to pay your own apartment, you have to pay your own car. So it's not very common that people they will move from one part to another part of Denmark in this third tier because they don't have the finances to do it.
Got it. Got it. What were you gonna ask though?
So, would you? I was just gonna ask in terms of, because you see it a lot, obviously, in Germany. So, like money under the table, as they say, Schwarzgeld. Are they
Yeah.
doing that a lot in different in a lot of the different divisions, just so that it's not, I mean, just different ways of spreading the capital around, I guess.
I mean, I think it's an important part of it, in order to like keep the league rolling and
Yeah.
to make people play around all the places. The police had made some bigger, I would say, investigations about this black money in the lower ranks. But I think it's not like a big issue, but it's still there, and it's still I think it's in a healthy way. It's not over the top, and if you can say it that way.
I think that's a good point, just in general. Like, I feel like those, because a lot of the stipulations are very high for terms of, especially as like a foreigner, for getting money for visas and things like that, or paying players to keep up with clubs who have more money. So, like, especially in the lower tiers, I think it's like, as long as it doesn't get out of hand, like you said, but if it's within range and it's okay, like, I think that's such an important part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree because it's not only because the team want to be a better team. It's also in order to like have something for the city or sponsors, the smaller kids to make something that they can look up to and be connected about. So I think you have to look at the bigger picture before saying, oh yeah, black money is bad every time and it should not be allowed. In that way, in order to make it like function, I think it's needed.
Yeah.
Completely.
Another interesting thing about Denmark, which you've spoken about, obviously off the episode, off the air, is that the contracts, if you don't get paid on time for a certain amount, you're free to cancel it. There's like a law protecting players, which is not the case in many places around the world.
So we have like the Players Association, and mostly every player is a part of that when playing in Denmark. So if you don't get your salary, you will talk to these guys, and within 4 days, the club has to pay you, or you have the possibility to break up your contract but still get paid for another 6 months or something. So I did have that experience in Denmark. In Vendsyssel, we had this Swiss owners who didn't pay us on time, and we got our money the third day, so it didn't come to that point. But still, they have to go through with all of these procedures in order to make it possible. And if the club doesn't wanna, let's say they don't wanna pay the players, the license of play will be relegated, but the association has like a fund with a big like portion of money in order to pay the players who is missing money.
I
Wow,
like
that's
that power to
amazing.
the players.
It's amazing, and it's not very often it has been used because in Denmark we used to say we are a decent people.
Superior to
But
everybody else.
they must have not had you in mind when they said that, Morty.
What?
Just kidding. Just That's kidding. Yeah, I think, I mean, so as we go up the levels, like, you kind of know how it is in Germany. Like, it depends on the club, obviously. So when you're getting into the semi-pro and the amateur even, is money still kind of flowing through those teams a lot too, or obviously depends?
I don't know how you do. You guys know about education money?
No.
So it is like all the teams that you have been playing in until the age of 15 are obligated to get money when you make
a switch. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in that way, let's say a player is making a transfer from FC Copenhagen to Anderlecht, then let's say this player has played in the youth, in my old club HIK for 3 years, then they will get like 3 years.
Certain amount of money.
What the percentage is, but they will get a fee for that, which allows like the talent development to occur also in the smaller clubs. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that's actually something that we don't have in the US, and it's a subject for debate. Yeah, so they, especially like MLS teams, like don't pay. So I think if you go abroad, I think there's something that works. I'm not sure into which level, but it's different. And those smaller clubs aren't really getting those. I think they're called like retribution payments in the US. But like MLS doesn't pay them. And it's their own rule that they have with FIFA. I don't know how they get away with it. Also, I mean, I don't know how they get away with a closed league, but they're an exception to the rules that have been made.
Yeah, that's interesting. Which is, that's no like worst case for a bad season. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There is none. Yeah, just show up next year.
Very American, as you would say.
American.
But when those clubs get those payments, do you find that they are kind of redistributing them in like the men's teams, or is it more just kind of funneling back into the youth?
No, they're definitely going to the youth the departments of the clubs.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. And also like the development inside the female football is huge at the moment. I don't know if you know Pernille Harder.
I don't think so.
Played for Chelsea, Wolfsburg. Now she's playing Bayern Munich. Mm-hmm. One of the better female footballers, and she has been like making the possible to be a professional footballer also for all the young girls. So now a lot of young girls they are playing, which makes it more like attractive to as a young girl to come and play football. It's like, yeah. So I just want to point that out in terms of you said about the men's team, but you meant, of course, the first team of the club. But this is like these money are going to the entire youth departments, also including girls' team, men's team, everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. So, as foreigners ourselves, and kind of a lot of the things we talk about on the podcast is like a lot of the times you want to go abroad and start maybe a little lower than what's your level maybe, and then kind of work your way up or learn the league system and kind of make a new home out of it. So obviously you've never been a foreigner in your own country, so like it's a little different for you, but from what you've seen, like, is there a lot of movement between? So if I were to come in my, like, out of college in the US, so 22, 23, and if I come into maybe like the fourth league or the fifth league, if I found a possibility through visas and things like that, do you find that it's quite easy to like make an, not easy, but how do you find it is to like make a name for yourself and then kind of climb up the leagues as an individual?
To be fair, I think there's not many guys taking the step to the fifth or fourth best league from another country. So I think in that case, the answer would be that's difficult. But if you get in like the third tier, it has, I mean, I have seen cases for that. So if you have a good season, you can get to one league better and then next time one league better. But it's not like, Yeah, because I mean, as I told you, it's like more a hobby thing when you go in the fifth row tier. So it's not like people will take it very serious.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the team from our fourth tier will take it serious, and you can go there, and then you know you can make the ranks like that.
Right.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, even in Germany, like guys will come and start in the Landesliga, and then you can work your way up, kind of league by league. Sometimes you can make a 2-league jump, but like. Yeah, I was just wondering, because obviously it's really tough to get connections in the second tiers, and in the third tiers, Superliga is pretty much non-existent unless you have a really good connection. But coming out of college or coming out of smaller colleges and kind of wanting to try abroad, that's why I ask, because it's tough to get into like leagues, like a second tier or a third tier even. So sometimes, you know, it's not ideal, like I had to do kind of play a little lower leaguer in Sweden, but sometimes, like I said, how difficult it is, that it's kind of like the only choice or option you have. And then you kind of hope you can ball out and make a name and then create some noise around you, you know?
And how did you find that? Was it possible to create some noise?
So in Sweden, it was kind of like the one-step jumps. Like you kind of said, like I created enough noise in my first season where a team in the higher division saw it and wanted me. And then, I mean, then the visa thing kind of disrupted my path there, but maybe it would have kept going like that. It was tough to make a jump from a lower league to like a professional league though.
Yeah, I understand that. But we have a team in Denmark, Hobro, and they have got Sean, you also met this guy, I think, the goalkeeper last year.
Mm-hmm.
On trial, mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a bunch of American players coming, and I think that was like in the lower part of the second tier. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys, he went to Brøndby in the best league. So I mean, in that case, it was exactly that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking of that, do you know anything about the visas for foreigners?
So we did a little bit of talk about that before the pod, and I was trying to make a little bit of research on it. It's very individual. I mean, normally you will have to have a set level of salary in order to have this permission to work and live in Denmark. But it can also be a club saying, yeah, this person, he's very important for our club, so therefore we want to apply for that, and that in many cases it would be possible, but it's always a individual case, so it's not really easy to say how it's going to work, but mostly the clubs, they will make the work for you.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So tell me there's a chance. Exactly.
Yeah,
good to know.
How are foreigners kind of looked at in Danish league? Like, I mean, Americans, we kind of know the stigma around Americans, but is it like, do teams want Danish guys first because they think that they'll be more easy to kind of adapt to the system and things like this? Or how does that work?
I mean, as a Danish guy in the Danish league, I thought this opposite, that they would rather like get an unknown foreigner and hope he is the banger and they can sell him for a good amount of money and pay him also maybe more than he's worth. But I'm also subjective, you know, as a Danish player. But I think, I mean, we as just when we have one player and the team talking English and not Danish, the entire team will communicate in English. So we are very open to foreigners.
That was a interesting thing for me too. Like when we played Zickerberg, like all I heard was English, and I looked at the thing, and I think there was only like one or two non-Danish guys, and one was like Swedish, and one was Icelandic, and I was like, then they speak English, and like I was like, wow. So that's, I mean, that's something that you will not see in, I mean, maybe in other Scandinavia leagues that's the case, but like you would never see that in Europe, obviously.
No. And in that case, it's very easy for a foreigner, and especially from the US, to come and adapt, because everybody will speak a decent level of English will be able to communicate. So it's more about the style of play.
Mm-hmm. Heading on to training. Okay, we'll skip Superliga because that's obviously like that's just professional setup and everything, like you kind of know. But let's start with the first league, so the second tier. So is that always that's full time training? So you're training in the morning besides the two teams that you mentioned?
Yeah, it's like fully professional. So yeah, you start in the morning. Maybe you have a double session. Maybe you don't, and then you're off for the afternoon. I mean, in my time in Denmark, I normally had one day off in the week and then training or regeneration training or something after the games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second division. How is that? Is it training kind of like at night, like you'd see in a lot of Regionalliga teams?
So, I mean, you have these set rules. If you are full-time professional, you have to be able to train in the morning. If you're a part-time professional, you will be training at 15 o'clock. If you are a total amateur team, then you have to train at 17 or 18 in the evening. So that really sets the rules of when you are able to train. So the full-time professionals, they will have to train in the morning. Obviously, they can also have a double session and they can also say, yeah, you need to stay in the club for the entire day. The part-time professional, they will just like stick to the rule and have the training at 15 o'clock. Mm. So it really depends on the teams. So this year is also an exception. Sean, you know, the red team Hvidovre that we faced last year, they are actually in the Superliga and they are part-time professional.
Really?
Which I think has happened for like 30 years or so.
Which means they're training at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's very interesting.
And you think that's maybe because they allow players to have jobs because then they can pay players less?
Many of the players, they are former professionals, Superliga players, even in abroad, like Germany or something. And they already said like, yeah, my football career is just on a lower level now and I have a normal work or maybe I'm studying in the morning or something. They can still do that and be able to play football at a high level. And that's right. Very attractive to many.
Yeah, I can get that, especially when you're thinking about the next career. That's very interesting though, that even in the Super League, there's a team that's part-time and professional. What about go ahead.
I mean, that's also a great thing for the club in order to pay less salary. I mean, people, they want to go there because they don't have to deal with this morning training and stuff, and therefore they can also pay them less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it works for all involved, then hopefully they stay up. But I mean, we'll see, right?
Very difficult, but it's like an experience for the entire Denmark to watch it. So it's a great thing.
And so for the second division, so the third tier, is that a mix then? So some teams would be training at 3 and some teams would be training at 6?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the fourth tier, so the third division, this is always in my head like third, fourth. So the fourth tier, would you have any that are training at 3?
You might have. I can't.
Okay, you might have a few.
I don't know that exactly, but I guess there will be clubs doing that. But then you're talking maybe two times or three times a week, not every day.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Got it. And how about the setup of the season? How are the games? Cups? Is there a local cup? Is there like a country cup like the DFB here where you could play as a lower league team? Could you play a Super League team in the cup? How does that work?
Yeah. So in Denmark is a very small country compared to Germany. So all teams are in the same cup. Obviously, the smaller teams, they start playing each other before the bigger teams, they enter the tournament. But yeah, every year we see like the smallest club playing the biggest clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah, is awesome. And it's following the league. So it's like from summer to summer.
Mm-hmm.
The final will most likely be in May.
It's so cool.
And,
and is it
how many? Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, is it the lower team gets the home game, or is it a draw?
Yeah, yeah. So they get the advantage of the income.
I love that. I love that excitement. Like lower league teams on their field, like you got to beat them there.
Also, like it's very often happens that the smaller teams they will win. I mean, because sometimes they will underestimate them and play with the B team or something, and then
right.
Last year we had Brøndby. I think they lost 4-0 to a third tier team. Bang.
That's amazing. I love that. I mean, it's also like this for a lot of the players in the club. Like it's the only game that they've been thinking about. So they come out with everything. Yeah. So it's just a completely different way of looking at it. And then, you know, like when you play a cup team, when you play in a cup here and you play a team in a lower league, if you play on their field on a smaller turf, kind of field hockey-ish turf, it's much harder to beat them than it would be on your full scale grass pitch. That would usually be a lot easier.
Yeah, and the cup has its own like way of play. So cup is a cup. We say everything can happen.
Is that the next Danish saying? Anything can happen in the cup.
We have a lot of sayings. Yeah, cup is a cup.
The cup is a cup. The magic of the cup. Yeah.
Yeah.
All that. And then, how many teams did you say for each league? Did you say it was 12 or?
12, yeah.
So then in the league system, are you playing everyone twice, home and away?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that makes 22 matches. And then you separate the league in top six and bottom six. And then you play, relegation or promotion play.
And then you're only playing playing each other in those groups.
Yeah, then you're only facing these guys again, which makes 10 more games. So it'll be like 32 games per season.
Okay, gotcha. And that's across any of the leagues?
I mean, all the leagues with 12 teams, which is, Superliga, First Division, Second Division, and I think also now Third Division.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
And what about, we go on to trialing. Best time to go on trial, I guess, as a foreigner and as yourself as a Danish player. I don't know if you even went on trial in Denmark, but if you know players, when did you see players coming into training?
I mean, the longest transfer window is in the summer. And I know if you are a free agent, you don't need the window in order to sign, but you need it in order to be registered for the league. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, sometimes it will be great to come before the season ends, because then the clubs, they can start organized for the next season. So in end May, start June. But also, like, normally the preseason will start end of June, and all the clubs, they will have like multiple trials.
Okay.
Got it.
And so, do you see a lot during your preseason, or is it kind of selective?
It's every day a new guy or two, okay, or four. So it's like, it's very common. And I would recommend the summer before the winter, because you only have this January to do something.
Yeah, right. True. How about the coaches? So like, how do you see the level of coaching and the licensing for coaching across the different tiers? And then also maybe like the style. How do you kind of see that in comparison to other places you've played?
As I was touching about in the start, they focus a lot on the opponent and a lot of, we were doing a lot of video sessions. Maybe we split the video for 3 days, focusing on different things, training it afterwards. I mean, all of the guys, they have the highest education of trainer, and they need to, to keep it up every year, once every year. So they will have to go abroad for 2 or 3 days to refresh it, which is a good deal for the association to always make the money come in.
Money's always flowing.
Yeah, but I don't really know about the level across the leagues, but I just know that, I mean, in general, most of the trainers have been playing on a good level themselves, so they know about football and they have the passion for it. They're very focused on numbers. They do like to look at numbers and, yeah, kilometers, sprints, all of these things, possession of ball, videos. So it's not that emotional as it maybe was in the earlier days.
It's a very analytical.
Okay.
Yeah.
And thoughtful. Interesting. Good. Then we'll finish up. What's the biggest thing you've learned from it, from playing in Denmark?
That's a wide question.
Yeah.
Here starts the life story. This is where you just give an essay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Shawnee. I mean, to be fair, coming from Italy, also Norway, but coming back to Denmark, I was like, oh, this is very good. We have facilities, we have good trainers, we have good teammates. Everything is working very great. And then I hear my teammates, they are complaining about the food is not good enough and the showers are not hot enough. And I'm like, I used to have none of this playing in Italy. So please be a little bit grateful for all of this. So I was like, I think it's very healthy for people to go abroad to actually experience and be grateful for what we have in Denmark, because it's top.
Yeah, that's a great answer. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Anything we've missed? I think we've covered a lot of things in here, but is there anything you thought we might ask you and we just didn't get to?
I mean, I'll just add to this that the few American players that I've known playing in Denmark, they all have this speed, unusual speed that we don't have that much in Denmark. So coming from US with speed, you'll make it happen here in Denmark.
Yeah, right. Kind of like it's the, yeah, it's having what they don't
being
have.
Being dynamic.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
It's a good point.
All right, well, that was our deep dive into Denmark. There's a lot of D's there with Morten, the goal scorer. He only hits pings these days, so look out. Morty, we'd love to do this again sometime over a coffee, maybe when I'm an honorary coffee club member.
We'll have to go to Berlin again then. Huh?
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
We'll leave the elevator stories for Footwork After Dark. That's a paid subscription platform. $9.99 per month to get the stories about Berlin.
Yeah.
We can't divulge those details.
No, we
just
can't divulge
yet.
That. And we're going to end on that.
Footwork is sponsored by ourselves and great companies such as Kong Fitness. But we love to partner with new brands to make their own path, so get in touch if you must.
Footwork.club, the official Footwork website, is now live, so make sure you go join the club and check out all the new content and all the new features. Find us on YouTube at Footwork Podcast. You better like and subscribe while you're there. If not, I don't know what to tell you.
Find us on Instagram at Footwork_podcast. Great time there. Twitter at Footwork Podcast. TikTok at Footwork Podcast, where we like to post dance videos. Those are great, but more importantly, amazing content for any dream chasers out there. Plug pass. Tell your friends, your enemies, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor. It doesn't matter who. Tell the mailman, your dog, anybody that can listen.
Like, subscribe, review, because all of that helps while you're there. We'll take whatever we can get to join the club.
Join the club. He messed me up. I mean, he can just mash it together, so it's fine.